Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chubby Ray Live. My name is Ray Lytle. It is fantastic to be here on this Thursday. Great show today. Great show. Comedian Adam Hunter, one of the funniest people alive on the show today. And a great friend of mine. And he's going to be on. He will not only make you laugh, but he can also inform you when it comes to things like MMA fighting. I'm not lying. You guys think I'm lying. This is... I'm not making that up. Also on today's show, current events quiz with Hillbilly Joe coming up. I am always as joined by the one and only Gully, my co-host from Liverpool, England. Hey, Gully, how are you, my friend? Is he not there again, Gorilla? My other co-host,
I am here.
Of course, Vanilla Gorilla.
I am here.
Wait a minute, why are you?
Why do
you?
I am here.
Why do you?
Ready to go as always.
Why is Gully keep running? Like I see him, he's on camera. And then you take off and you run away, and then you come back. What's going on with you?
I have the squirts. That's no way to sugarcoat it. I have diarrhea.
You've been hitting the curry again, haven't you?
Actually, Italian food has caused me to actually poo through an eye of a needle. I can do right now.
What is wrong with you?
What? Well, at the moment...
Have you been checked by a doctor? I'm serious.
At the moment, what is wrong with me is ring stingray.
I know people with malaria that have less diarrhea than you. Why do you constantly have the diarrhea?
I might like it. I don't know.
You know, he's taking a trip to Mexico, too, Ray. You know what he's going to do.
By the way, Magic Johnson has a better immune system than Gully's. I'm convinced of it. He's with you. You get to everything. Let me get right into this because I see he's on there right now. He must have called in while we were... getting ready to do the show. Can I welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Adam Hunter.
What's up, brother?
Hey, Adam, how you I didn't even see your number up there. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you, man?
I am fantastic. Better than Gully. Nice. Gully's got the diarrhea. I don't know if you heard that in the...
Yeah, I heard about it. It's funny when you hear a British guy going, I have diarrhea. Like, it's like... Like the last thing you'd expect to hear from a British guy.
With his proper voice. Say it again, Gully, with your proper English accent.
Jolly good, Ray. I have diarrhea. I have the squirts.
That's wonderful. I
love it.
I don't know what happens. Hey, Adam, how you doing, buddy? I haven't talked to you in a while. I mean, I talked to you on Twitter, Facebook, but not over the phone for a while.
Things are good, man. I was, I was the head writer for the Mixed Martial Arts Awards.
Did you really do that? How was that?
That was awesome. It was on the Versus Network. I got to write all the sketches, and it was crazy, man. Like, cause you wrote all the jokes for the fighters, you know?
Right.
And then they would butcher them, like, during the plenary speech, and then you couldn't say a word, because they would keep the shit out of you, you know?
So it's like, and for those that don't know, when you write award shows, you basically, and anybody who's watching an award show, whenever, like, a presenter comes up, and they tell a joke, you know, before announcing the award. That's all written stuff. That's done by, you know, comedy writers. And the guys...
They're reading a prompter. You can never tell that.
Right. Well, the guys...
Exactly. The prompter was like 100 feet away. So you could, I mean, it looked like they couldn't read, but they could read. It was just like literally, there was a lot of things that like, you know, it was like the first ever televised one. So it was a lot of stuff that was like...
Who televised?
You know... Versus Network.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
but it was funny, like, then Diego Sanchez got wasted, right? It was, like, right after his fight with BJ Penn. So he's up there making a speech, and he's just drunk, you know? And then he, you know, you get, like, a fake award, and then they mail you the real award. But you have to give back the award after you get it. Oh, and he's like, I'm not giving it back. And then nobody would, like, tell him, dude, you got to give back the award, you know?
Because they're afraid he'd hit him. That's great.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. So, that sounds like a fun gig, though, right?
Oh, it was awesome. I got to meet all the fighters. It's just cool. I met, like, Randy Couture, who was, like, super nice. And I met Greg Jackson, Heath Herring, and, like, and you know, I was, like, you know, directing, you know, like, Frank Mir, and then, what's his name? I was directing, you know, like Roy Nelson, and I got to meet Vanderlei Silva. Like, you know, those guys could have been cooler, you know, and Ariane, and then the girls were there. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
You've been a fan of this for a long time, and you've been a fan of MMA for a long time, right?
Yeah, you know, definitely. I mean, I love it. It's crazy, man. Like, you know, I used to wrestle in high school and college, and you know, I started taking this class that, like, they opened up this Legends gym, Eddie Bravo's gym, like across the street from me, and I was like, Jesus, I got to go to this class across the street. So I started taking a wrestling class, and Dan Hardy used to show up to class, right? And, you know, and Dan's wrestling is probably his, like, weakness, you know? And so I was like, you know, doing well against Dan Hardy, and then Dan's like, you know, he's like, you know, slowly but surely, I'm like watching his fights, and like he's like the nicest guy in the world. I mean, the nicest, comes to all my comedy shows. The guy's fighting GSP this Saturday, which is fucking like my old training partner, like, is fighting GSP. You know, how cool is that?
And I know that St. Pierre's headlining this one, but who's the guy that, did you read the thing about the guy that they just found a brain abnormality or something? One of the fights is being...
Yeah, Thiago Alves.
What's happening with that?
What happens is John Fitch, he might be done forever now, which sucks.
Wow.
I mean, first of all, I mean, you fight in a cage for a living. How do you not have a brain abnormality?
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. I mean, it's on the verge of an aneurysm or something. I mean, that's scary stuff.
Yeah, sucks, man. And like, those commissions are tough. Like, I actually was on an airplane with Joe Messi a couple weeks ago, and the same thing happened to him. Well, like, you know, sometimes you just get hit the wrong way, and then blood starts bleeding, and then you'll never be able to fight again.
Yeah, you can't. You really can't mess with, because they are one. I mean, let's face it. When it comes to stuff like that, and boxing's always put up with this, and even professional wrestling, every time they've had to go through this stuff. When somebody dies in the middle of, whether it be the ring or the cage or what, or the on the mat, whatever the case may be, when someone dies, there's a group of people that always want to end it, you know? So it's very important for any kind of MMA, you know, I use UFC because it's branded as the biggest one, but UFC or any kind of organization that does this MMA, this mixed martial arts stuff, they've got to really, really check these people before the fight to make sure you don't have someone who doesn't end up, you know, dying in the middle of a cage. I mean,
exactly. Because all it takes is one person, and everybody, like, and then it's amazing. The UFC's never, there's only one person that ever died from MMA, and that wasn't a UFC fight. That was like some non-sanctioned, you know, King of the Cage backyard brawl.
Yeah, it was like in Oklahoma or something, wasn't it?
There was some kind of competition, you know, like people could just sign up and fight their neighbor,
right.
You know.
So guys that just show up the night of the event and jump in there, they don't get any kind of medical clearance in order
to fight.
But they know that. When professional wrestling, even professional wrestling, which is scripted, although these guys are actually athletes and do all that stuff. But remember when Owen Hart died in 99, even people wanted to somehow get involved in professional wrestling to stop it. So,
but that was ridiculous. I mean, the way
he fell from a thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, I mean, that was when, I think that was when, you know, I was a huge wrestling fan when I was like 8, 9, 10, 11. I mean, my bar mitzvah was no holds bar mitzvah. That was the theme of my bar mitzvah.
Awesome.
And there were literally posters of like Hulk Hogan and then my 13-year-old head on top of the body.
Oh, that's great.
But then when wrestling took a turn, I think for the worse, was when it started getting into the explosions and like the like 10 table matches. And yeah. I mean, some people will argue that's when it became better. You know, people sort of like when it started with the whole, you know, cutting with the, you know, like kind of what was going on
less,
with like, the wrestler.
The less fake, and this, I know this sounds weird, but the less fake it got. I mean, it was very athletic. A guy's coming off the top of the rope and flipping and landing, it's almost like a dance. You get guys that are just jumping off of the top of buildings through tables and cages, although it's interesting to watch like an accident. It's not as what's the word I'm looking for? It's not as quality.
It's not as fun.
Sport.
It's not creative.
Yeah, it's not as sport as it was. When you watched Bret Hart fight in the middle of the ring against Stone Cold Steve Austin in WrestleMania, whatever the one it was where Stone Cold bleeds out or doesn't even tap out, he passes out. You know, when you get matches like that, it's they're a lot better than these matches where guys end up falling off the risers, going through four tables, and
it's like when it was Hogan versus Andre the Giant, the Hart Foundation against the British Bulldogs. That's what I thought was amazing. Demolition, you know.
But don't you also think that the popularity of MMA increasing has also done that? Because I think it made, it's so different from wrestling. So the people that were watching wrestling for certain aspects now watch the MMA stuff. I'll tell you who's got it down.
Yeah.
Spike TV. Spike TV's got it down. They got a combination of the two, you know. Like some nights are UFC night and other nights are TNA nights. Spike TV has become my favorite channel.
Yeah, the problem is that I'm a fan of a guy dominating, winning. I don't care if the guy lays on the guy and wins, you know. Like that's to me, that wins a win in when it comes to fighting, you know. But the problem is that a lot of those same fans that went over to WWF when it became ECW, when it became that crazy hardcore stuff, are now going into UFC, and all they want to see is knockouts.
Yeah, and blood,
know? And they're booing when guys are like grappling, you know, and now the fighters, rather than win the fight, are like, I don't care if I win or lose, as long as somebody gets knocked out. Like I have a friend who fights. He's like, dude, all I care about is putting on a good show. I'm like, just fuck that. Win the fight.
Yeah.
Dude, don't get hurt.
It doesn't matter if you win on a decision, as long as it's a good fight. You don't have to have someone get knocked out at the end.
Yeah. The fans in like Japan get that. Like if you watch the overseas, like the Japanese Pride, or now it's Japanese, it's Dream.
Yeah, they show some of that on HDNet. HDNet has some of that stuff on.
Yeah, and they'll never boo a fighter in Japan. Like, they just have more respect. It's that idiot at Hooters, you know, with the three beers in him, that played JV football.
The guy who has the racist shirt about Obama?
Yeah, the racist shirt. Like, this is not the kind of change I wanted.
Right,
you know,
it's the same guy that's rooting for blood in UFC.
And the stupid girlfriend who was dragged there,
right,
you know, who's like trying to get him into a fight, you know, it's just like, that's the guy that ruins the UFC.
And
you see them, you know.
Adam, let's face it, these people are ruining everything, not just UFC.
Everything.
They've ruined
everything.
So listen,
you
wrote the awards. That's kind of, I didn't know you did that. That's awesome.
It was a blast. It was in Vegas at the Hard Rock.
New Year's Eve,
you know.
And now you're continuing to tour every weekend. I see you're somewhere else. And you were in Bloomington a couple of weeks ago. And my wife and I wanted to go. I got so sick, and so we couldn't go. But we were going to make the trip up. Next time you're in Bloomington, you got to let me know. Bloomington's only, you know, that's an hour and 10 minutes from here. So, you know.
No, I just booked Springfield for September.
Oh, fantastic. Cool. All right, good. Let's get you back. Or St. Louis, too. When you go to St. Louis, let me know, too. And I see that your show, for those that don't know, Adam does a show that's been available on the web for a while. It's called Man Up, Stand Up, which is Adam introducing a bunch of different clips from various comedians. It's a very entertaining show. If you get a chance to watch it, and it's now available on Netflix, is that correct?
Yeah. It's also on, if you have Dish Network, it's called Maverick TV, Mav TV, which is on Dish Network. It's on a lot of cable providers, but Dish Network, it's also like Verizon Fios and a couple other networks.
That's awesome.
If you go to Mav TV, it's on your regular TV also.
Why don't you, do you need to do a monologue on that? I guess you record it so far in advance, though, don't you? I guess you can't really do.
Yeah, well, I don't even write the jokes. They write the jokes for me. I got to come in, read a green screen. It's an hour. I love it though. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's really cool. It's a great experience. It's a fun show. The writers are great on it. You know, like they're just very campy. Like everything is like, you need to are you wearing pink? What? That's not a white shirt that faded in the wash. That's pink. You need to man up. I just start screaming at whoever.
I've watched it. You're very good. I mean, you know.
Oh, thanks.
You can tell sometimes that you're not the one writing the jokes, but you're very good. You know. In the chat room, they're suggesting this, and I want to double up on that. Surfer girls in the chat room suggesting Adam's tweets. If you're on Twitter, do yourself a favor. Twitter.com/AdamHunterComic. Adam's the best. When it comes to Twitter, I swear to God, no one is better than Adam. His stuff is fantastic. And, you know, you could tell, Adam's a good friend. I love this guy. He really is. You know,
I love you too, brother.
I think so much of this guy. But I do think sometimes he's got depression issues or something. He's very manic. And sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, Adam will run. Either that or he's you could tell he's on some type of transportation and bored, because he'll send out like 15 of the funniest tweets you've ever read in your life at 3 o'clock in the morning. It is really something. It's like this burst of creativity.
Trying to get that core depressed audience, you know?
I'm just saying that it's like there's some type of manic roller coaster you're on where you're awake and just at the height of your creative genius. Because ones
I'm like waiting for the plane to come in. I'm just like, fucking, I have to stay up. I know if I fall asleep, I'm going to miss the plane. So I'm like, what could I do? And then I'm just like, all right, And then I'm like, oh, I got some new jokes.
The best bang, stuff, you know. That's great stuff. It's really fun. How is the stand-up going? You've been, you having fun?
Yeah, stand-up's going great. I'm in Milwaukee this week and then Vegas next week, which I love Vegas.
Look at that.
And then I shot a pilot called ADD. I'm trying to sell that, which is, you know, we got some great meetings. There's going to be with MySpace, actually, as a MySpace talk show.
Really?
Yesterday.
Hey, that's not bad. I hear they're retooling. They're retooling MySpace.
Yeah, they are. You know, everything goes in cycles. You know, MySpace, Facebook, now Twitter.
I read they're retooling it to become almost like their goal is to make it more of an entertainment venue.
I think if they got rid of more of the tools on MySpace, it would be better.
Yeah, well, they want to make it more like Gully. They want to make it like, you know, MTV doesn't show videos anymore. So they want to make MySpace a place to go watch videos, to watch television shows, to watch talk shows. You might be perfect for that. I'll tell you what I'd love to see on. Man, we were talking about Spike TV earlier. How awesome would it be? You know, Spike TV needs to give an unknown like Adam Hunter talk show. That's what they need to do.
I auditioned for it last week. They have a new show, a new talk show. We're looking for an unknown host.
Yep.
And I went in for it last week. So cross my fingers.
When you get this, remember, you need a fat Mexican writer. You give me a call.
100%.
I will
100%.
Help with that. A monologue. You need it. I'll tell you, I my wife says this too. And not just my wife and I. Every time we go to Adam's show, we go with a group of people. And they always say the same thing. They go, you know, he's such a likable guy, but yet you could tell he could also be, you know. how did I describe? I did a review of your show once where I said, Adam is, he's like that guy that could be snotty, but your grandma loves him because even though he's telling dirty jokes, he does it in a way that doesn't make him unlikable. Which is true. But that's something that you know, that's something that the TV show host needs to have. So what else are you auditioning for? Are you doing acting now or just?
Yeah, auditioning for a couple movies. I'm in a webisode series called The Real Potheads of North Hollywood.
I haven't seen that.
And that comes out next week or the week after. Oh. It's basically, I'm the guy who doesn't smoke pot. everybody hates. And I'm telling them how, you know, but I just want to be on like the reality show. So I just keep coming over and like annoying people and like, you know, trying out my talent because I know that there are like cameras there.
Hey, speaking of Twitter, I know we're a little bit removed from it, but okay. So the Kevin Smith thing with Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see Kevin Smith? Kevin Smith sent me the, thanked me for giving, this is so funny. Kevin Smith, when he did the movie, when he did one of the Jay and Silent Bob movies, he did Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, there was a band that did a video, and in the video, Jay and Silent Bob beat the hell out of a boy band. And one of the people in the boy band is Adam. And so, I think it was you that sent out the original link. Adam said, you know, just found a video of myself as in a boy band or whatever. So I send out this tweet that says, saw two of my favorite people on Twitter, watched Kevin Smith beat up Adam Hunter, in this video. And then Kevin Smith sent it out on his, which, by the way, I applaud myself for having, like, you know, just a couple hundred followers on Twitter. Adam's got more followers than me. Kevin Smith.
Like a million.
Yeah, he's got like a million people following. He sent it out, which, by the way, after he sent it out, I think there were like 15 people that started following me just because Kevin Smith sent it out.
I mean, I met him a couple times. I mean, for the first time I met him, he was like literally, you know, had like a baseball bat, was beating me up in the video. and he kept saying, "Are you okay? You okay?" I told him, and I said to him, I said, "Hey, man, if you hurt me, I got to be the lead in your next movie, right?" And then he started laughing, and he goes, "Write that down," to his assistant. So he's like, "That's how Jason got hired, you know, at Silent Bob."
That's awesome.
Which I thought was cool. And then I ran into him like 3 or 4 times in L.A., and he's the most down-to-earth, just cool guy.
Does
like,
your conversation start the same way every time? "Hey, do you remember when you beat the hell out of me?"
Yeah, that's exactly how it started. The next time I saw him, like 8 years later, he's like, "Yeah, I remember that in Jersey, yeah."
And every time you see him, it is, he doesn't remember that he doesn't remember till you ask him, right? Or till you tell him, right?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I always have, like, the most retarded, like, interactions with celebrities. Like, I actually, I live in this complex. The other day I was late for the host man upstairs. You know, they shoot up at 9 in the morning, and I was up to, like, 5 on Adderall tweeting or something, right? So I, like, reverse out of my garage, and I already pay, like, $320 a month for car insurance because I literally got a letter saying I'm one of the worst drivers. I'm always driving on the phone, on satellite radio, you know, or whatever I'm doing. And I bam right into this girl's car behind me. I'm like, fuck, right? Like, totally my fault. But she was parked behind me, like, in a way that it wasn't her lane. And there's a note on her car saying, "Hey, sorry I parked here. Please call this number if you want me to move it," right? So, like, I can probably just fucking ditch out, but I'm like, whatever. I'm already paying $340. I might as well go for the record, you know, pay $420 or $500, you know. So, I call the number, right? And I hear, like, "Hey, you reached the voicemail of Amber Smith." And I'm like, "Amber Smith, I know that name." I'm like, "Holy shit." So then I call back. She's like, "Hey, this is Amber." I go, "Amber Smith from Sex Rehab?" And she's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Oh, I'm a huge fan." I'm nice. Like, "I love you." I'm like, "I watched you on the Celebrity Rehab." And so she's like this hot model from Sex Rehab. And she's like, "Okay, why are you calling?" I'm like, "Oh, I smacked into your car." She's like, "Really? Oops. How bad?" I'm like, "Oh, your car's fucked." I'm like, "But Sex Rehab, I can't believe that your mom wouldn't, like, talk to you." And then this guy, I was starstruck. And she's like, "Okay, let's meet at 3 o'clock to see my car." So I'm like all excited. I have like, you know, I like get dressed up. She's like this hot model. And I'm thinking like what I'll do. I'm like, maybe I'll like whip on my cock and be like, "Hey, we can work this off," you know, like this gotta be a way.
Nothing makes a chick want to have sex with somebody more than when they total their car.
Yeah, and then looking at their cock and saying, "Let's work this off." So then I see her, right? And then she's like carrying her bag. She's there, like her mom lived there or something. I don't know what. So then I was like, I'll help her with the bag, and then I'm like, "Hey, I didn't really mean to say that. I was a big fan of your sex addiction, right?" And then like, which made it even worse. Like I just brought it back. I took us right back to where we were in the conversation, you know.
That's great.
And then. But then I figure if there's anyone, you know, forgiving, it's you, being that you're in rehab. And I was like, "Oh, fuck, this is like fucking why?" As I'm saying this, I'm like, "Why the fuck am I saying any of this, right?" And then, but then she's like, "You know what? It's okay. I shouldn't have been parked there. You take care of your car. I'll take care of mine," right?
Really?
I'm like, "Oh,
wow.
Swear to God."
That's awesome.
So then I started inviting her to my comedy shows. I started texting her, like, "Hey, I got a show." I ran into her 4 times that week. She had lived in my building for 3 years. I had no idea. 4 times. She could not. Every time I see her, she would, like, walk the other way. Like, I'm, like, the annoying guy that fucking bumped into her car. Like, that was great.
Speaking of you and celebrity interaction, I saw you were on Jimmy Kimmel. Playing the devil or somebody. What were you doing? You had makeup on and horns and.
I had no idea. I basically got a call to meet with Jimmy Kimmel. So like, "Hey, you know, we don't do stand up, but it wasn't with Jimmy. It was his lady. She's like, we do casting for sketches, right?" So she starts talking about a cat, and I had just gotten a cat because me and her girlfriend wanted a cat or something, and then we broke up. And I was never homeless with you guys. So the lady was like, convinced me to have two cats. So like I called her, and I'm like, hey, I got the other cat. She's like, that's great. You want to be in a sketch today? I'm like, yeah, sure. Right? So I ended up like being the devil with Jack Black and Guillermo because he was promoting his like video game.
Right.
And I'm in that chair for like 6 hours, and Jack Black comes. But it was hard because like they told me, they're like, okay, so you have these are your lines. Like Jack Black's gonna come out and say, hey, you know, I'm seeing demons. And I'm like, there's demons everywhere. But like, and then he looks at you and goes, there's one in the crowd. He comes and beats you up. But you're the nice demon. You say, I'm just here to watch Dancing with the see who went Dancing with the Stars. You know, right?
Oh, that's
so,
okay.
But they're like, oh, this is over. They're like, that's your line. But then they say, but Jack Black's gonna improvise. So I'm like, how the fuck do I have a line if this guy's improvising? Like, it's going to make no fucking sense. And I'm like, okay, bye. They run away, you know?
What is this?
And then they don't even, like, tell me when I'm supposed to go out, right? So I'm basically backstage, hovered up in a demon costume, and I asked this, like, PA kid, and he's like, hey, I'm not sure I go out. He's like, yeah, go out. So I go out, and then, of course, the fucking director comes out. Why are you coming out so early? I'm like, because the kid told. So I'm like, already, like, I can't even fucking do this right, you know? But it ended up working out. I've had some, like,
what
shitty,
is with you getting very beat up by weight challenge celebrities? I don't
know. that was bad. The worst, though, was when I like, auditioned for Punk'd, right?
Right.
And I had, like a callback or something. And then I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to punk the casting directors.
Oh,
right?
That's a good idea.
My friend said he did it, but it was a different casual. So I get there, there's, like, five people in a room. And they're like, okay, what? So like, you do a scene where you like, run into this, like lady's car or something. And then you're, like, you're apologizing or something. So I'm, like, I'm doing that, right? And then, then I go, you know what, man? I do it. They're like, oh, that's so great. I go, you know what? Fuck MTV. You guys are fucking bullshit station. You have shows like Safe Sex, followed by Spring Break. You have a homeless special Wild by Cribs. You don't play videos. Why do you even call yourself music television? Let's say you play music at fucking 5 in the morning to 5:30, and then you play half a video at the end of like some stupid show for like 5 minutes, for like 30 seconds while credits are rolling. This station sucks. You guys are full of shit, and blah, 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 right? And then I go, you've been punked, right? The look of horror on these six people's faces, like, they look like I go, out. Get the fuck out of here now. I go, no, I was like, I was punking you, get it? Like, they're like, leave right now. Right? I go, but no, but I was just, they go, security, right? So fucking the guy walks me to the fucking parking lot. I had to like, and then the whole time I'm thinking, maybe they're punking me.
Oh,
like, hey, maybe this is a big fucking elaborate scheme, and they're going to tell me that I got the part as I'm driving home, right? So then I got a call from my agent going, it's not good.
Oh,
like,
God.
I had to write a fucking letter apologizing, blah, blah, blah. So I fucking write the letter, right? They call me back in, right? This time it's like the guy who's in charge, like the David Goldman. He's like the guy's like some guy who's like married to Punky Brewster, who's basically, he's like Ashton Kutcher's right-hand man. So they pair me up with a girl. They're like, okay, I want you to insult each other, right? So I started insulting this girl, and then the guy yells at her, let her talk. I'm like, so at the time I had a chipped tooth from like wrestling I never got a fix. So the girl goes, you chipped your tooth. Look at you with your chipped tooth. I'm like, yeah, I chipped on your vagina, right? And the guy goes, ouch. I got fucking thrown out again.
You know what? Is that the real reason you had to get rid of your agent? Or the real reason you changed agent because you drove the last guy crazy?
Yeah, pretty much, man. Like,
oh, my God. That is fantastic.
Fuck these guys.
What else is that? Are you auditioning for any movies or anything? What else is happening with
I went out for a great movie last week called And They're Off. I went out for the Spike thing. I went out for this other ridiculous show. And then, you know, I wrote a script, so I'm trying to raise funds for the movie now. We're just actually got tasked a line producer and a director, and we're going to start casting. I'm like, I wrote a movie where I'm like the lead. It's about this comedian who sucks and becomes a male stripper. and then he becomes like the best male stripper, right? But it ends up like just going horribly wrong, you know. I'm writing it now. I already wrote it, and you know, for basically we wrote, like in Hollywood, you're like you write a movie, right? And then you think like, okay, after you're done, like someone's gonna read it, and then in like a month you're gonna get it made. I mean, that's like everybody thinks that when they first write a movie.
It takes years.
Yeah, so then you send, like, well, basically we sent it out to like four companies, the people that I knew.
Right.
They read it, right? And they go, we love your movie. We read, you know, thousands of films. Yours is up there. It's very funny. We're going to give you, here's like, we'll give you $20,000 and then you're not attached to it at all. We're going to put Jason Biggs as the lead. I said, what the fuck? I was like, I spent 3 years writing this. Like, you know, I have a writing partner. That's like 10 before taxes. You know, it's like, so then that was one thing. The other one, you know, the other thing, you give it to people. They're like, yeah, this is great. You got to wait to be, once you're a star, then you can make it, right? That was like, okay, once I'm a star. Then I'm thinking, like, what a stupid, like, what if this is the thing that can make me a star?
Right, you know? Yeah. So, no, it doesn't work that way. Not in Hollywood.
So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to raise the money myself. So I'm trying to basically raise, like, $150,000. It's not that much money. And go out and, I mean, not that money for a movie, you know, and then go out and shoot it myself and fuck it, you know.
I think you know, when you're in Hollywood, it's such a different planet from reality. You know what I mean? It seems to be so far gone from actual reality. It is so weird.
The thing is, like, it's great and it sucks. It sucks because, like, the bad part is that everybody who says something to you, like, you gotta divide by two and, like, minus four, you know? Like, I was like, hey, I got a pilot, I got this. Like, someone says I shot an independent film, right? They could either be talking about, like, the next big show, you know, they could be talking about The Hurt Locker, or they could be talking about them going out with their, $300 flip camera. And like shooting it, and like shooting their friend going to the bathroom, and that could be their independent film. Like, literally, there's no way to decide. Like, you know, obviously, if you see, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, he says I shot a film. That okay, he shot a film, but everyone else is such a like clown. You know, when it comes to people that actually are like what they got going on.
There's
you know?
So many people trying to make it, and so few who do that. You know,
it's like yeah. And it's fake it till you make it. It's like the secret out there. Just put the energy out there and it'll happen, you know? So you don't know if people are full of shit or not, you know? Everyone says, oh, dude, I shot a movie. You got to send it to my cousin, you know? Like, dude, my friends, you know, but you got to, but you can't be a cynical asshole or nothing will get done. You have to go, okay, maybe he's true. But the good part is that, like, when I lived in New York and I hung out with my friends who were, like, stockbrokers or teachers or insurance people or, you know, whatever they're doing, their advice is so, at least, like, when I'm in Hollywood and I'm with comedians, they get that, like, okay, one day you're on Last Comic Standing in front of 6 million people, the next day you're at the Ha Ha Comedy Club in front of 50 people, the next day you're working, you know, Jack's Crab Shack, the next day you're doing the improv. You know, it's just, they get the up and down. And it's not like you're any worse of a comic if you're doing Jack's Crab Shack than if you're doing the improv. It's just the way shit happens, you know? Right. One day you're on Dexter, the next day you don't get to do a Foot Locker commercial. Right. The next day you're trying to get, it's just the way shit happens. It's fucking roller cycle. You gotta just kinda, it's the roller coaster. But the idiotic advice of my friends was like, dude, you should go on The Biggest Loser. Yeah, hey, man, you're like, dude, my friend fucking is a PA for Monk. You should call him. Or, you know, hey, man, you know, why don't you go on Howard Stern? Or just the fucking retarded shit.
It doesn't
that comes
work
out of their mouth.
That way. Here's a great Hollywood story. A friend of mine who used to be on my radio show back in Peoria, guy moves to Hollywood, or he goes to Second City. Does that, then he wants to be an actor, goes to Hollywood, and he's been there forever, and he hasn't had much success. Finally, you know, he's now around 40, I don't know, he's in his 40s. He loses all his hair, all right? He loses all his hair.
Feeling.
And he's very cheesy. I mean, his personality is that of a lounge singer, a piano-playing lounge singer, except he doesn't play piano or sing very well. This is this guy, I know Randy, and he's a very talented guy. So he goes to all these different casting calls for years in Hollywood to get a part. Finally, he auditions for this role in this movie that stars Zac Efron.
Right.
Where Zac Efron and Matthew Perry, they somehow switch bodies or something. I don't know. Whatever it is. So the whole role is they want someone, and this is why they cast him. They want someone who comes across as smarmy, thinking he's hip, you know, hey, you know, as a photographer, all right? And they're going to put a wig on him, a cheesy hairstyle wig, and he's going to take a picture of Zac Efron when he's like 17 years old, okay? And then 20 years in the future, he comes back again, and he takes the picture of Zac Efron again 20 years in the future when he's 17, and this time the reason they're hiring him is because he's bald. He's lost all his hair.
Oh, that's funny.
So that's the whole reason why he gets the movie, okay? That and the fact that he can play a cheesy cameraman or cheesy photographer really well. Okay, so he goes to film the movie, and it takes him like 2 days to film the scene where he's bald and acting cheesy and all this stuff. And then, so the reason they hire him is because he lost all his hair, right?
Right.
So when they make the movie and the movie comes out, they cut the scene of him taking the picture 20 years later out of the movie. But the scene of him taking the picture 20 years prior is still in. Which,
right.
The whole reason they hired him
is because he was bald.
Is because of the 20 years later. And that doesn't even make the movie. That is Hollywood. And by the way, in essence, that destroys the whole joke of the movie, because I guess when he cuts the when he does the movie 20 years earlier, or he takes a picture 20 years earlier, he says something like, hey, say instead of cheese, he's like, say onions or what, I don't know what it is. And then 20 years later, he does, hey, say, and he does the same jokes 20 years later, and the Zac Efron character says, you know, God, things never change. They totally cut the whole second part out. So he's in this movie, but it's such a just an innocuous reason for him being. There's no reason for him to be in the movie at all, since they cut out the second part, which totally ruins the joke. And for him, what could have been a big break ends up being, you know, nothing.
I know people that have gotten fired off their own sitcom that they wrote about them. Like, I know people that auditioned to play other comedians that were written for them. like my friend is Asian, was going out to play a white comedian because the people didn't like the white comedian, the network. It's almost like the value of like the internet and like has somehow like, because all those people like when I did Last Comic Standing, you know, like literally like the things like, you know, they wanted me to be the bad guy and play along, and then I acted like I was going to be like the biggest asshole, and then when I got on the show, I didn't talk to anybody. He talked about how like I like work with kids who have cancer and how like my mom died in every interview. Because I like knew that like that you know, what were they going
to
edit? They didn't
even
put that stuff in.
Yeah.
But they all have like a, but even like when they told us like, hey, you know, you guys are all performing, and I'm like, yes, and everyone's like all pissed off. And then I like watch the show, and like in the show, they go, you're all performing, and I'm like about to cry, and I'm like, what the fuck? That didn't happen. Like, that's just like the way. But there's too many people that are taking away the, like, there's a lot of people out there that their whole job. It's like the most frustrating thing is like, when I'm pitching a show, right? Like, if I pitch, like, 10 shows, you know? And the most frustrating thing about pitching a show is I pitch to a guy and who's basically 99 out of 100 times is just going to say no. Like, that's his whole job. But that person doesn't have the power to say yes. They have to advance.
Yep.
They have to pitch it to another guy, to another guy.
Yep.
Right? And then eventually you get to the top guy, and that guy says yes or no, right? But that's the whole – but it's like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why are we pitching to this person when all he can do is say no? He can't – even if he says yes, it doesn't even mean yes. It means that he has to pitch another guy. It's like the only difference is you get to a point where you're like Jessica Simpson, right? I guarantee Jessica Simpson's show where she finds the real beauty or something would not have been picked up if I went in there. And I'm like, I got a show where Jessica Simpson or a celebrity wants to find the real beauty. They're like, get the fuck out of here, right? Jessica Simpson goes in there and goes, I got a show blah, 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 beauty. They go, perfect. Yep. Because she's not dealing with the people that I'm dealing with. But the difference is that celebrities go right to the top guy.
Yep.
And the top guy, the three guys in the middle and low don't even know what the top guy is
right.
thinking. Like American Idol, the only reason it got passed on by every network, and the only reason it got picked up was because the head of Fox, Rupert Murdoch, or the head of Fox, whoever it was that made the decision, brought it home, played it to his kid, and his kid liked it.
Yeah.
That's why it got
it's
picked
bizarre.
Up, because his kid liked it.
Yeah. Look at Seinfeld.
Sounds like a very bizarre place.
Well, look at Seinfeld. Seinfeld was horrible in the ratings when it first debuted, and NBC didn't. They had another show that they were gonna. It was just a summer replacement series, and then they were gonna yank it and put this other thing on. But whatever, something happened to somebody that was supposed to star in the other movie, or somebody died. There was something that happened, so it got a second. It got a second life because of it. They said, okay,
yeah.
We'll let it run a few episodes. And then in those few episodes, it took off. Hollywood
right.
is filled
no.
with, and then there's stuff that's fantastic, like the show Arrested Development, which is, God, it's just one
yeah.
of the greatest shows of all time. Never, ever caught on because they didn't know what to do with it. So, I mean, that's Hollywood. But
look,
listen,
Raymond, everybody loves, like, Raymond,
right,
everybody
yeah.
loves Raymond. He was replaced by Joe Rogan on talk radio.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Or on
a news radio.
On a news radio. Yeah, because they said he couldn't act. Raymond couldn't act. They put Rogan in. 3 years later, Raymond wins the Emmy for acting.
But you know what? It just goes to show, Adam, it goes to show that eventually the truly talented people who have the gumption to stick it out, the truly talented people eventually find something that they're perfect for.
But the hard part is just sticking. The hard part is, like, you know, not listening to your relatives,
right.
not listening to your friends.
It's an option. It's a gamble. It's a gamble because you see these guys. You do see guys that eventually make it, and then you see other guys. And this is the sad thing. When you're doing what you do, what you do is entertainment, and the goal is to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But while you're doing that, your life is put on hold.
Right.
And then you see guys that never make it, and it turns out they get old. They go, oh, God, while I was doing this, I put my life on hold. And it just seems it's such a struggle. I care for you. I think of you every day. I hope nothing but the best. Listen, Man Up. Man Up Stand Up is now on Netflix. It's on MAV-TV, on Dish Network. And, of course, you can find it online as well. Follow Adam on Twitter or become a fan of Adam Hunter on Facebook as well. And
thanks a lot. I'm a huge fan of yours as well, man. And thanks for having me on the show. Bro.
You're in Springfield. You're in Springfield. When are you? You're going to be in September.
The third week of September. I'm in Springfield.
And listen, I love writing jokes for you too. So whenever you need anything, just
oh hell
me
yeah,
know.
Of course. And I actually banged. I banged the hot chick from Springfield when I was in Bloomington. So
did
good
you really?
Stuff.
Good for you.
Yeah. He had this hot 23-year-old chick that's just blonde hair, 50-year senior, sorority chick. It was great.
Very nice. Good for
so
you.
So when's the next time you're in the UK? I know you was in Manchester
oh,
recently.
The UK? No, I didn't get to Manchester. I got detained and sent back.
Are you serious?
Dude, yeah, these guys, I was working for these shady promoters. They didn't tell me that I was sneaking into the country. And so I got there, and they're like... They're like, why are you here? I'm like, for a comedy show. And they're like, and then the next thing I know, I'm like in a room with fucking the Taliban and like three runaways.
Oh.
I mean, and like, thank God Fletch was on the TV. That made me laugh.
Oh, that's great.
And then I got escorted to the airplane, and they took my passport, and I got sent home.
That's unbelievable.
Oh,
no.
Yeah,
oh, that's
unbelievable.
All right, well, listen, good luck.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah, right. I was smuggling in toothpaste.
I wish you luck. You are free to be on the show whenever you want. It's Chubby Ray Live. Our guest is Adam Hunter. You are fantastic, my friend. It is so good to talk to you. I love having you on every few months just to kind of, you know, catch us up with what's going on with you.
Definitely. Thanks a lot.
And let me know. Whenever you're in the area, let me know, whether it be St. Louis or anywhere. I guess I'll read it on Twitter, but we'll talk soon.
Definitely will do.
Adam, it's good to talk to you, my friend.
You too.
Guys, the one and only Adam Hunter joining us. Fantastic. He's the best. You know, he is one of the most talented people that I've ever had the pleasure of knowing that guy. It sickens me. It does. It sickens me that he is not bigger in the entertainment industry.
And I'm just answering my question.
And Gorilla, I don't know if you noticed or not, I'm proud of Gully. At no point did he get up during that interview to go do the diarrhea.
Oh, very good, Gully. You know, I didn't get to ask him my question,
though. Oh, I'm sorry. What was it?
I was going to ask him when he was doing the MMA awards whether or not he got to meet Gina Carano, whether or not he got her phone number, and whether or not he was willing to give me that phone number.
I'm sure he would have. I'm sure he would have passed it along to you. Is that the girl that did Playboy?
Was she in Playboy?
One of them. I don't know if that was her or not, but one of the UFC girls did Playboy, like last year.
She's not in UFC. She's actually a fighter.
Or sometimes. Oh, no, it wasn't a fighter. This is a commentator that did it.
No. Gina Carano. Look up Gina Carano someday, right?
All right, I will.
I know that a lot of people in the UFC train in Liverpool now. A lot of Americans come over and train in the gym in Liverpool.
I'll tell you, Adam is he's a big – he knows that stuff. He might – you know what? I wonder if he if his calling isn't somehow involved in that, because he knows all that stuff. It's unbelievable how well-versed he is in that. Hey, I got listener mail to get to before we do anything else. Can I get to some listener mail? And then yeah. Hillbilly Joe's supposed to call in with the current events quiz today.
Yeah, he's supposed to.
Yeah, right.
And then of course, we have to talk about Gully bit more because
we have one more thing to talk about from yesterday. Right,
yeah, too. Oh, that's right. And we still have to get some stuff about yesterday. You're right. But Gully's having some issues today. We have to talk about those today. Oh, boy.
Love and it stings.
Is a burning thing. And it makes a
Gully's ass sting.
Burning.
Bound by wild desire.
Gully's ass is a burning fire. Gully's ass is a ring of burning fire.
I went down, and the flames went higher.
We'll also talk about Gully's diarrhea in a little bit. I have listener mail to get to today.
Nice.
I'm very excited about that. And a new. So we do have stuff to get to. I could have, by the way, I could have talked to Adam the whole show. Very easily. Mm. He's that. You know, I love interviews where you basically have to ask him like one question and that's it. You know, and they just take over from there. Love it. Okay. Right, listener mail. This is from our favorite mailer. Our favorite person who sends us mail all the way from Jalalabad, Afghanistan. We got mail from P-Double, guys.
Cool.
All right.
Ray, I want to thank you, Gorilla, and Gully for including me in the basketball pool. It meant so much. I haven't been watching a lot of basketball because we just got the Armed Forces Network working here the other day. I work with a lot of civilians here, though, which ends up making this a 7-to-5 job. And we have this Dish Network that comes out of India. The only sport I get is cricket, and I've gotten into it. I know Gully is into soccer. But I think he'll be proud to know that I am one of probably 100 Americans living today who actually know what an over is and how to score 4 or 6 wickets.
Nice.
What does that mean? Is that cricket terminology or something? What does that mean?
That is cricket, which I, for an Englishman, I should know more, but I know very little about it. But I understand.
So he probably knows cricket. More about cricket than you.
Yes, you're more English than me. Well done.
Ray, I have 3 comments I want to make about the show. Number one, I am disappointed in Gorilla. Uh-oh.
Me? What the hell did I do?
I'm disappointed in Gorilla for not pointing out the obvious allusion I was making. He should have said, well, Ray, to quote my favorite singer-songwriter, love is a battlefield, when I was talking about his marriage being like Jalalabad. Ah, yes. That's a very good line.
That works.
Number two, did Sarah Jane say something about being pimped out for 2 years? Aside from the obvious question, which is, what? I can only imagine the utter failure of a pimp whose stock in trade is a 300-pound girl with herpes. Does she have any idea what became of her pimp? I imagine he had to take the bailout money after his failure of an industry. That is one industry I think you and Vanilla Gorilla can both agree should be allowed to fail.
We hope.
Yes.
Number three, what happened to The Hunt for Rage? Is he working in small-time wrestling shows like Jake the Snake Roberts was in that movie Beyond the Mat, capitalizing on his fame from being the only midget to have wrestled the 14th guy to play Doink the Clown? Is he sitting in a dark room applying salve to his private parts due to his run-in with Sarah Jane? Did he use the $50 she gave him to buy this salve? Is he still ashamed of having to wrestle Hillbilly Joe a couple of months back? Did he tap out from the figure four taint tickle that Joe gave him? Ray, the people want to know. Last but not least, I loved hearing P.S. Bob, Sean Balint, and Sarah Jane all in the same show. Yesterday's show was excellent. That's from P-Double. Thank you, P-Double.
Cool. I think she's killed him and buried him, and that's why she moved.
Well, we haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
I've seen him since.
You have seen him?
Oh, okay. Oh yes. He's looking very dykish these days.
Yeah, he does look like
He's cut his hair short.
He looks like a woman trying to look like a man.
Yeah.
Mr. Butch or Miss Butch.
I know that's weird, but he does look like a woman trying to look like a man.
I don't know if you caught this yesterday during the Sarah Jane interview or not, right?
Okay.
But I thought it was very funny when we mentioned Luigi, and she said Luigi gave her a fake number.
That's right. She did say that.
Yeah. I don't know if you caught that or not, but I have more respect for Luigi now than I ever have.
He gave her the brush off. He must have some sense.
Can you believe? That's right. Luigi actually gave her a... He dropped a load in her and gave her the wrong number.
Now,
I'd
Ray...
I'd like to drop something on her, but, you know.
Now, Ray, I told you I have people at work that listen
yes.
to the show.
Yes,
every day. And they have a question for you.
Sure, by all means.
They all listened to yesterday's show, and the one question I got today was, what is Ray's wife's number?
My wife's number.
Oh, yes.
That and they all want to know.
Yes, I was correct.
What was the number?
My wife did not discuss with me the exact number. However, I was correct in saying it was very small. That's all she said.
No, we need the exact
well,
number.
Well, you'll have to ask her because I don't
well,
have
what's
it.
What's the number? I'll call her up and I'll
I am
her.
Not giving you... If my wife wanted you to have her phone number, she would give it to you herself.
Oh, sure.
Any friend of mine who has my wife's phone number, she gave it to them.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I think the only friends of mine, she has Sean's number, DC's number.
So I'm not special enough? Is that what
I'm
you're
just
saying?
I'm just saying. I don't know. I didn't give... DC's
here
now. DC's here
now.
Does
your wife have something
DC,
against me?
Did I give you my wife's number or did she give it to you? My wife gave it to him. I did not. I don't give out my wife's number to people. Sorry.
I think your wife's being kind of snooty towards me.
I don't know. She's the one who decides who she likes and who she doesn't like. She chats with Gully all the. By the way, she and Gully are always chatting. I don't know what's going on. They're chatting over the iPhone when they play.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, they're constantly chatting when they play Words With.
Gully, find out the real number, please.
I don't know whether I should ask because, you know, I think Ray should really do his manly
well,
duty.
It's none of your business.
It's
none of my
Ray.
Business.
She's your wife. She's been your wife for 20 years.
Oh, for
it's her business.
God's sakes. I told you how young she was when I met her. Of course it's fake.
Doesn't matter.
It's very
that doesn't matter. We need to know.
You know what?
Very
she
small.
She was about the same age when you met her that Sarah Jane is now, and Sarah Jane's in the 60s or 70s.
No,
or
my wife was much younger than
90s or whatever number.
Sarah Jane. Sarah Jane's like 20-something years old.
She's the same age as my sister, right?
She has a vagina of a 70-year-old, though. That's the problem.
She has a vagina of a 70-year-old French whore. God. Unbelievable. So, let's see. What else did we have to get to before we get into the news? Since Hillbilly Joe, obviously.
Yeah, what is with Joe? Why is he such
I don't know.
He calls when nobody wants him to.
He calls on the Thursdays when we do the quiz.
He calls when he's drunk.
Yeah.
And then the next day he will never call because he's hungover.
We've done the quiz on Thursday the last 2 weeks, and yet he doesn't call today.
But by the way,
Jackass.
I I'm predicting the future today.
Yeah.
That Love Songs will call and sing Sweet Child of Mine.
You think Love Songs will call and sing Sweet Child of Mine?
I think he will.
I haven't heard anything from Love Songs.
I'm seeing the future here.
All right.
I don't want that future
well,
to come
Love
true.
Well, Love Songs has not called today, so.
That's good, though.
Well, Adam Hunter was being rude and taking up, you know, all of Love Songs' time.
Adam Hunter can take up as much time as he wants.
You know, he was being rude.
Adam is
We have Love Songs to get to today.
Adam is the best guest that's ever on this show.
Well, he's the only one who's, like, even partially famous.
Yeah, but I'm saying that of the guests I've had, and throughout my radio career, Adam's one of the best guests. It's weird because another one, we mentioned him, was Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith's been on my show a few times. He's very good guest. Adam's a great guest. Let's see. You want to know who's a great guest? Remember Eddie Money, the classic rock singer?
Yes.
Eddie Money was a great guest because he's so messed up. I mean, he's so flawed as a human being. He was just a mess when he was on my shows. And, of course, Ted Nugent.
I love Ted Nugent. Yeah.
Ted Nugent. Ted's a great guest. Because you ask him one question, and then 20 minutes later, you get to talk again. Although cool. Some of his politics are just crazy. But,
well, I mean.
But he's a great guest. But yeah, a lot of people think some of my politics are crazy, so.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Which, by the way, there are people that actually drop me. There are people that drop me from Facebook because they disagree with my liberal politics. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Seriously, have we gotten to that point in this country?
Oh, yeah. We're there.
We talk about it. We talk about it all the time. Gorilla and I will argue almost every day about politics. And I don't think any less about him. I think less about your. Yeah, maybe that's not the wrong. That's the wrong thing to say. I don't get mad at you. You know what I mean? I'm not angry with him after the show because of his politics.
Was that your wife that just walked in the camera?
No, that's DC. That's offensive. No. How dare you?
I thought DC was sitting on the couch.
He is. He got up and went to the kitchen for some reason.
Why is he wearing white pants?
I don't know. You know, he's wearing, I don't know what he's
being
wearing.
Being for the jog?
No, he's wearing a white shirt.
What, did his shirt go down to his ankle?
Yes.
What?
I don't know what he's doing. He was up in my kitchen looking for food. I don't know what he's doing.
Why is he trolling for food in your house?
I have no idea. Why does he use my bathroom all the time? He goes in the did you stink up my bathroom, DC?
No, the floor might be a little.
Present for you.
Yeah, the floor might be a little sticky when you go in the bathroom.
That might be my dog's breath. It's disgusting. Oh, good Lord. My dog's breath is so disgusting that I actually can smell it. He's underneath me, and I can smell it like it's just the breath.
Does that smell
filthy
worse?
Filthy dog breath.
What I want you to imagine here, Ray, is that you can smell Gully's diarrhea. Does it smell better or worse than your...
I got to be honest. I bet Gully's diarrhea smells better than my dog.
I would probably think you'd be right there.
My dog is offensive smelling. It really are. Disgusting. Do you smell the dog? Yeah, he stinks. The dog just went over to where DC was, and he smelled. He's like, oh, my God.
I think Gully's girlfriend would care to differ with you on that one.
Oh, I'm telling you. All right, so let's get into the diarrhea. How are you doing? What are you feeling better or what?
Well, I've not shat me pants, if that's any consolation.
Did you put a cork in it?
No, I think I've extruded all I need for now.
All right. I'm hoping so.
Don't forget to nice drink lots of liquids.
Mm. Yes, I have been.
All right.
Thanks, doctor.
Hey, by the way, is Palooka is in the chat room? Yeah. Is he really in Cuba right now? Or,
yep.
I don't think he's in there yet.
Is that true? Is it true that he's going to Guantanamo?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yep.
How the hell did he do that?
He went to the military.
When did Palooka go into the military?
What? September, October?
So he, even though, I thought he was in his, how old a guy is he?
He's the same age, about the same age as I am.
He's in his early 30s, right?
Yeah.
So he just up and joined the military?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. No, I didn't know that though. I mean, I knew he was a prison guard, but I thought he's a prison guard around here.
No, no, no. He's Guantanamo.
So he just picked up. He was a listener, Joe Palooka.
Yeah.
AKA, he's got four other names. Tony B. AKA, you know.
Tony B.
Would be in the chat room every day, and then he stopped coming in the fall.
Yeah.
And now he's in Guantanamo Bay.
He's been playing on it for a while.
Yeah, he's beating on them terrorists.
I didn't know of any of this.
He's been planning on going for like over a year.
So he joined the armed forces to become a prison guard, or?
Yeah.
He wasn't already in the armed forces. He just...
As I recall, he wasn't sure he was going to become a prison guard right away, but apparently it looks like he made it.
See, he needs to call in on Skype.
Yeah.
So he just joined, at 30-some-odd years old, he just joined the armed forces. Did he have to go through basic training and all that stuff? Or?
Yeah.
Everyone does something.
That's why they call it basic training.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm wondering, is he part of the military?
Yeah.
Or is he...
Yeah,
or
private.
Is he a prison guard who got a job working? I don't know how that works.
No, no, no. He's a private.
And does he get to a waterboard or beat the hell out of terrorists?
I would hope so.
Yeah, but I think Obama put a stop to that.
Yep. No more than that.
I think they put... Well, you know what? I take it back. I think they claimed they were putting a stop to that.
Yeah, just like they claimed.
Just like he claimed. Just like he claimed he was going to bring the troops home from Iraq, and he claimed he was going to bring them home from Afghanistan. I read the other day we have more troops
than 30,000 over.
Well, I heard the other day that we have more troops in Afghanistan and Iraq now than we did before he got in office.
Yep.
Oh, God damn it.
Hey, you got change, and what do you want?
I got change. You're right. I got change, all right.
I'm still hoping he's going to leave me some change.
So Tony B is in the chat room. He's saying he'll figure out a way to call in within the next week or so. God, I'd love it if you called in, Tony. Thank you. We'd love to have you on the show to explain how this came to be. I'd love to hear this story.
Yeah, we want to know how many terrorists you've battened.
And he's stuck on the island in Guantanamo just being a prison guard.
Well, it's not exactly like an island. It's Cuba.
Well, but he's not in Cuba. He's not in Cuba.
Well, it's on Cuban. It's American soil in Cuba.
Right next to Cuba.
It's in Cuba.
Well, it's on the other side. There's a bay.
They call it
Guantanamo Bay because it's in. There's a bay. The Cuba's on one side.
Right, right. But I mean, it's like. Oh, hell. It's like hating the Dominican. Gitmo is still, it's American soil.
Right.
But it's in Cuba.
Kind of like an embassy.
Well, it's more than an embassy. It's a base.
Yeah, well, I think it's technically, I don't know.
It's like our bases anywhere. It's all American soil. Anywhere that's American base, it's American soil.
Yeah, it's American soil where we have the base. I think Cuba's right across the bay.
No, I think it's still, I think you can, like, get to it.
Yeah, but I'm saying that there's a bay. You'd have to be in a boat to get to Guantanamo Bay. I don't think they can walk to Cuba from where the prison is.
Wouldn't it be Guantanamo Island?
Yeah, but I think it is an island. Why the hell would we, a country that we have such...
Because we took it.
...animosity towards, why would they be right next... It's not like there's a gate separating Cuba from our base.
I'm almost positive there's a gate and a minefield that separate them.
Wow. It's got to be
almost positive.
Something like that, right? Well, you know, Sean would know. We should ask Sean Boleyn. Sean would know this? Because Sean knows ridiculous stuff like this.
Sean's full of waffle.
This is the kind of shit that Sean knows. Hey, Sean, are you there?
Yes, I am, brother.
Hey, we're arguing about Guantanamo Bay. Gorilla says Guantanamo Bay.
Hold on.
Gorilla says Guantanamo Bay is on Cuban soil. I say that I think it's an island. Can you what do you know what it is?
You know what? I think it's like an isthmus kind of deal. I think it's one of those deals where it's attached, but I'm going to double check that quick.
Yeah, find out because I want to know how that works. Because I don't see how we would be. I don't think we're just part of Cuba, right? I mean, we don't get along with Cuba. How well, can I mean, we have a base right in the we sure as hell couldn't have a base in the middle of Cuba.
It's like an East Berlin, a West Berlin deal, where we just, okay.
So there's like a wall or something separating Cuba from.
A wall, a gate, and a minefield.
Let me see here.
Find out.
I'm looking. I found Guantanamo, Cuba. I'm looking for the. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I'd like to know how it works.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that they can get. I don't think it's like they get leave and they go into Cuba or anything. I think.
No. They can't go to Cuba.
Let me see here. Because it was. And if you remember A Few Good Men, that was kind of like a central focus. I got snipers shooting.
That's right. Yeah, he talks about how I've got. The, you know, 300 yards away from me, I've got Cubans, you know, or whatever the amount of distance is. But I thought that's why they call it Guantanamo Bay. I think there's a bay that separates Cuba.
Like San Francisco Bay. I mean,
well, yeah, it's not a big. It's not like miles. It's feet or yards, but it's still water, right?
Yeah, they call it largest harbor on the south side of the island, but surrounded by steep hills, creating, as they say, an enclave cut off from the.
So it's an island.
So it's connected, but pretty much topography kind of separates it, apparently.
Oh, good. DC just brought up a map. Okay, let's see here.
That's what I was trying to find was a map of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Oh, so we're on the south end of Cuba. It's on the south end of Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like. It's the geography itself has created. Here, put up.
I'm surprised you can even get an internet signal at all.
Yeah, it was like a key part of the Spanish, a leftover from the Spanish-American War. You know that bird, those bird crap covered statues at the stage.
So you're right. It's somehow it's naturally because of. Because of a mountainous area and stuff, it has somehow naturally developed itself to be.
Oh yeah, there it is, right there. I see it.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, and apparently, the U.S. government routinely sends rent checks to the Cubans, and Castro's only cashed one of them.
That's hysterical. So, but I think technically Gorilla would be right, though. I mean, technically you're right, Gorilla. It's got a, although you have to go through mountains and stuff, but it is connected. It's not like it's floating out there by itself. So,
yeah, and as far as I remember, there's a wall,
right,
that surrounds the entire base, and they have gates that you can get in and out of, but it's like you have to follow a certain path because there's a minefield on the outside of the wall.
Unbelievable.
Well, the type of people they have there, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have island fever after a while. Holy cow.
Well, you got to have you got a waterboard. It's great weather for waterboarding, I know that.
Water sports is all the action.
Right. So basically, if we want to take over Cuba, at any time we could take over Cuba. It looks like it'd take us about 90 minutes.
Yeah. I think we tried that a couple times.
I don't
before,
know, but I'm looking at where this thing is located and stuff. If we had enough guys down there, it literally, the way we're positioned, I think we could take over Cuba in about 90 minutes. I don't think it'd take much. I don't know what the Cuban army's like, but I don't think we'd want to because the welfare hit alone would kill us, but it's kind of like the reason, it's like why they don't make Puerto Rico a state.
Or Guam.
Yeah, it's why they don't make, Guam is... doesn't have that many citizens, but I'm saying Puerto Rico's got millions of people, you know. If they made them a state, the education system alone would break us.
I'm pretty sure that's been up for vote a few times.
Although,
for Puerto Rico, and they keep denying Puerto Rico.
Cuba has excellent health care.
Yeah.
They have excellent health care.
Yeah, I'm going to send you down there next time you get sick, right? Well, I'll pay for the ticket for you
I'm
to go
sure
to
there
Cuba.
Are Cuban doctors better than some of the doctors I've seen. Wow. Yeah, it's so weird. It's so close
to Miami.
It's so close to Miami.
Yeah, they do have some nice cigars.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right, Sean, what's going on? Anything?
Just a little buzz in this town as they get ready for the NCAA tournament.
When is that starting?
Well, for us, it's tomorrow.
Games are tomorrow night, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Northern Iowa is playing. Everybody's talking about Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
Could be interesting. And then, of course, I heard that they shot down the Donovan McNabb rumors today.
Yeah.
For your St. Louis Rams. Thank God. Who wants that hobbled? I'll
tell you what.
I got to be honest. He looks like Grady from Sanford and Son. He's way too old.
Well, you know, and then the fact, I guess the real killer with him is, in this era, you just can't have a quarterback who stays away in the offseason. You need a guy there 12 months a year.
Yeah.
Apparently spends a whole bunch of time in Arizona.
Yeah, he...
I'd love to play for the Arizona Cardinals.
His hobbled knees, on that turf, there's no way. Stay away from him. They need to stay away from him. Hey, guys, can we get into some news? Vanilla Gorilla's got our news. We wrap up the show with some news stories. Here's Vanilla Gorilla.
Hello, Raymond.
Hello, Gorilla.
Fairfield, Connecticut, Ray. That's where we start today.
All right.
Apparently, there were a couple guys, one 27, one 16-year-old, who called the People's United Bank and told them to place out $100,000 in large bills with no dive bags inside for them to come pick it up because they were going to rob the place.
All right.
Okay.
Of course, when they got there, the police were waiting for them.
That's a brilliant plan.
Yeah, not a flaw.
That's a brilliant plan.
Yes, let's go ahead and tell them we're coming.
Did they give a description of themselves as well?
I'm not sure. It doesn't really say. It does say that they were not too bright.
What a brilliant idea that was.
We'll be coming in with balaclavas on and guns.
Idiots. All right.
The guy, the 27-year-old Albert Bailey, was on probation for robbing the People's Bank in Bridgeport in 2003.
Idiot. Just got out of jail, I bet, too.
Sentenced to 7 years, so yeah, about that time.
Yeah, of course. He just got out.
Back in.
I'm going to get it right this time.
I think he might miss it. That's what it'll be. He misses prison so much.
Idiot. They threatened to create, quote, a bloodbath if the money was not there.
And it worked out well for him, obviously.
Apparently, right?
Idiots.
What a guy.
Time for another story. Here's news with Vanilla Gorilla.
This one's an update, Ray. We talked last week about the teacher charged with peeing in the classroom.
Yes.
Apparently, the teacher who was charged with the indecent exposure was a local pastor.
Oh, my God.
Who miraculously survived a crash.
Oh.
Yes.
That's great. You sure need God.
Why would a preacher be urinating in front of children in a classroom?
It still doesn't say why he did it.
What's wrong with these kids, with these people? Good Lord.
Maybe he normally carries a bag with him, a pee bag, and, you know, he forgot it and had to go.
Yeah, that must be what it is, Gully.
Well, the only thing I could think of. That's getting pee all over
you. That definitely has to be what it is.
They said that the crash, here's what happened. The crash in 96 killed his wife.
Yeah.
And the driver of another, it was caused by a driver of another vehicle. But apparently it caused him some brain damage.
Why are they letting him teach if he has brain damage?
Well, this isn't the first time he's been a substitute at that school. He wasn't a teacher. He was a substitute. But he taught at that same school about 10 or 15 times. This is the first incident.
He's building up the courage.
Kelly's right. He's been building up the courage.
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture of the guy and this one.
All right.
He looks somewhat normal.
It's like Sean Bullitt.
Except for his urinating habits.
That's him right there.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Urinating in the classroom.
Looks normal to me. I mean,
yeah.
Except for he likes to pee in the middle of classrooms.
Perfectly normal behavior. Yeah. Oh, well.
What is Blaine doing now?
I have no idea. I don't know what he's doing. You know, Sean.
You can hear that?
Yes, we don't know what you're doing.
This is exciting. It's behind the scenes. Back to you.
All right. Thank you, Sean. We'll do one more news story.
We appreciate it.
One more news story before ending the show. Here's Vanilla Gorilla.
You got help. There we go.
Yes, Vanilla.
This is going to start from the Rome News Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
A man was arrested and released on bond after being allegedly arrested for allegedly taking off his clothes in front of children in the women's restroom of a Walmart in Calhoun.
Oh, boy.
Norman Burns, 51, was charged with public indecency, disorderly conduct, criminal trespass on Sunday, and released later. According to a witness, Burns was found in stages of undress while on a stone floor and would do this in the presence of several young children.
What is wrong with these people?
I'm not sure, but police officers arrived to find him wearing a dark woman's suit, including a short skirt, a jacket, black leather gloves, high heels, red nail polish, nice. Eyeshadow, and wearing women's jewelry.
What is wrong with these perverts?
It was his time to come out, I think, and
oh my God.
Just happened to be children there.
He had been in the women's section of the store with his skirt kicked up, showing his white girdle and dark thumb.
Don't they know that cross-dressers are supposed to do this in the privacy of their own home?
I'm not sure. But who wears a dark thong with a white girdle?
I have no idea.
He's
obviously one. I mean, if you're going to cross-dress, for God's sakes, at least keep up with the trends. Even Sean, when cross-dressing on Halloween, takes the time to at least look stylish.
Oh, look at that picture. He's got one of them haircuts where his hair's totally gone at the
look at this
front,
guy.
But at the back.
If you got a haircut, how can you impersonate a woman with a hairline like that?
And with the stubble. I don't know if you can see the stubble as well.
Shave. If you're going to dress like a woman, at least shave.
I bet you Joe's woken up to plenty of people looking like that.
Joe himself has woken up like that.
That is Joe.
Wrong with these people?
I'm not sure.
We got time. One last one. This is the last one that we'll get out of here today. Yes, Gorilla, give us a news.
Your old stomping grounds, Ray, Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Police arrest a man after an overnight standoff. After he allegedly fired a gunshot during an argument with his wife. And he held SWAT officers off at bay for a couple hours in his home. All this at 84, Ray.
84?
Yes.
Wow.
He was a World War II era veteran. He held off SWAT officers. The standoff began at 1:30 a.m., and he was arrested around 7 a.m.
Oh, good Lord. Crazy.
At least it's not the youth of today we're moaning about.
Why?
The old people are just as bad.
Why did he have a gun and threatening his wife and holding off? What made this happen at 80-somebody years old? Why do you finally crack at 80-something?
Who knows? I mean, people crack at all different ages for different reasons.
And he
Gully's not getting any. You can only last 45 seconds. Sean can't find a woman.
What the hell is that? Well, how dare
you? People crack at the smallest of things, right?
How dare you?
Police fired tear gas into his home, but the Marine veteran said he owns enough guns to take down the whole effing army if he wanted to. He was stood it and relented.
Thank God for that. Thank God we have enough guns for that to happen.
That's right.
Glad this guy has access to them.
Second Amendment lives again.
Right. This is exactly who they made the Second Amendment for. People like this.
God bless America. That's all
I can say. This is why they have the Second Amendment, I guess.
Yes, it is, Ray.
So this guy can have guns.
Mm.
I just think somehow in writing the Second Amendment, this is not the kind of person they were talking about.
I'm sure when they were writing the Second Amendment, everybody only lived to like 40 years old.
Yeah.
They didn't expect that one time something called Alzheimer's would kick in
with people who own guns. You're right.
That's right.
But God forbid you try to get a court to, you know. And therein lies the problem with the Constitution sometimes, doesn't it?
Crazy folks can get guns. Yeah. There's the problem.
Oh, well. All right.
Do you really think if guns were illegal, that people who wanted to use guns...
No, but I think it'd be harder for an 84-year-old guy to get one.
Very much so.
Yeah. No, but let's face it. The real... I mean, An 84-year-old guy doing it is an isolated incident. There are gang members in inner-city America who shoot up neighborhoods and people every single day, and none of those guns are legal. They would be the problem whether there were gun laws or not. You know what I mean? The same people
that
are doing it now, would even if we made owning guns illegal, they would do it again, or they would still be the problem. And the only problem would be that if they decided to break into somebody else's house, then the people who have the house couldn't protect themselves. So no, I'm just saying, I don't think gun laws are... I do think our gun laws are too lax in this country, but I don't think that the gun laws are the key to solving violence.
How legal are guns in England, Billy?
They're not at all.
If you're in a gun club, you can go and shoot pheasants and stuff like that, but that's about it. And you can't have guns in your premises. Police can have guns because, well, they're police.
Right.
But that's about it.
How many people get shot each year, roughly?
I'd say more people get shot in New York than
more people get shot in New York in one day than get shot.
Well, yeah, there are also, how many people are in New York? 12 million.
Well, how many people do you think live in England? London.
Well, I'm sure.
London is like the third biggest city in the world. It's gigantic.
Well, how many people get shot each year in London?
Well, a lot of people get shot in London. There is a gun problem because, you know, it used to be knife crime, but now it's moved to guns. So
there's illegal guns. Illegal guns. The problem is not. The problem's never been the legal guns. It's the illegal guns.
Yeah, the problem is Nicolas Cage.
Of course, when people who have money problems that have guns and then sell them, that's another issue. So
it's so easy to get a gun in this country because if I had £500, I know who I could speak to get one.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
so it's really easy.
You really don't need guns anymore, Ray. You just call the bank ahead of time and tell them you're going to rob them.
And they'll put the money right out for you.
That's right. But you might have a couple of things for you. But...
Well, I mean, everyone knows that.
I've got to become a criminal.
God. I mean, come on. God. All right, we got to get out of here. I got to start recording the other show. The Media Show podcast will be available later today. This podcast will be up in just a little bit. Make sure to check it out. I want to thank Adam Hunter for being on the show today. Adam, as always, is fantastic. It is great to talk to him. I want to thank Sean Blitt for being on with us for a couple minutes as well. We're back tomorrow at 4:30, Current Events Quiz with Hillbilly Joe. Hopefully Gorilla will get to join us for a little bit. If not, he'll at least get me and Gully. Well, me and Gully's diarrhea ass. Say goodbye, Gorilla.
Goodbye, Ray, and have a good 45 seconds tonight.
Goodbye, Gully.
Goodbye, my Japanese ass flag ass.
Goodbye, everybody. Take care. Make sure to follow Adam Hunter on Twitter, twitter.com/AdamHunterComic.
Be sure to follow.